Okay, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. 086 60 25,000, that's the WhatsApp and text number, or give us a call on 07491 25,000. Some of your comments here before we move on. Hi Greg, the smart meter installations are taking place in our area at this time. At the minute I do not want one, as I feel I don't know enough. How do I stand if I refuse? Thank you kindly, enjoying your show. Well, we asked this question of Seamus Gunn, our solicitor, who comes on a Friday, and he said you contact the company and say you don't want one. And even if you put a sign up on the box indicating that, he says that you should, you know, that your views should be respected. So in the first instance, contact the company and opt out. Hi, Greg. Could you please find out if there are any grief support groups in the Letterkenny area? I don't have the funds for private counselling. However, I'd be interested in attending group sessions. I can see some support groups for people bereaved by suicide or the death of a child, but none for anyone who falls outside those categories. Thank you in advance. So are there any grief support groups in and around Letterkenny? And in this instance, it's the person hasn't been bereaved by suicide or the death of a child. There's bound to be something out there, I'm sure. Is there? Let us know. 086 60 25,000 and we can help that listener out there. Taking in parents' threshold for a postgraduate degree, why do they need to know this? It's absolutely ridiculous. My son is now back at college at 23 and has worked so hard independently and was denied Susie due to my threshold. What has my business got to do with this? What a messed up system, they say. Is anyone in Southern Ireland ever going to get Susie if they go to Northern Ireland? It's ridiculous. My daughter in Donegal has to pay fees, no grants, doing course in Derry. It's an issue we've raised a number of times, as you can imagine, on this programme. It's a question I forgot to ask Eleanor. That being said, the tone of her answers, which I perfectly understand, is they are given a set of rules with which they have to operate in, whether they like them or not. That's just the way it is. This is something that does need looking at for sure. We might actually put in another inquiry into the third level minister's office, just to see if we can get any clarification as to what's happening there. Can you get the grant when living in Northern Ireland? I don't know the answer to that one, but studying in the Republic, I can't imagine so. Good morning, Greg. They have to be at the fire station in 5 minutes, so how far can they actually work away from the station? Basically, what they want is more money. It's always the same, and they want to be able to work another job. It's either one or the other. They are acting like politicians, hands in many pies. I think anyone who sees the terms in which they're employed would realise that something needs to be done. I don't think they're being greedy here. How easy is it going to be to find work within 2.5 kilometres of a fire station and then have a very accommodating employer? I think there's certainly grounds for some sort of review needed there, don't you think? What is the HSC? Why is that HSC has it up to watch out for ticks? Why is it? It's part of Lyme Disease Awareness Month, and there is a risk, small as it might be, but it is there, that if you're bitten by a tick, and that you could develop Lyme disease from it. So there's a bit of advice there in terms of what to wear, what to keep an eye out for, and when to go and see your doctor. Is there any good alternatives to summer allergies or any recommendations? I can already feel the hay fever setting in. Anyone out there that has anything that works well for them? I do recall seeing people used to wear the thing on their arm, and there was people I spoke to and they said they used to get hay fever and didn't get it when they were wearing that thing, though you don't see it as much as you used to. But anyway, any good alternatives or recommendations for this listener who can already feel their hay fever coming on? Good luck if you're playing the bingo.
It's time for NCBI Bingo on Highland Radio.
It's Monday the 15th of May. You're playing on the green sheet. The reference number is S16. It's game number 20. The numbers are 39, 2, 71, 45, 34, 22, 62, 79, 50, and finally 61. phone your claim to 910-4833 before 8 tonight, leaving your name, contact number and the name of the shop where you purchased your book, and we'll call you back the next working day. Get all your NCBI bingo information at highlandradio.com.
Tá mark urnua ag gnólachtí tuar sorgta le sór wachas fustora a curinúl. Bunnyha chormina vustiha hain, ahnian an clor na fustori sin a cahan duchach de rihan ama le loiraca ibr nís fiar a crochu do gwid fustiha. Mialis Jack Nadini is fiar agus quinyagid. The Employer Excellence Programme. Tilla Olish ag fultaireland.ie.
PDO Thread Lifts, the ultimate non-surgical lift for the skin, improving facial contours, lifting and tightening jowls, the neck, cheeks and eyebrows, are available at Genesis Aesthetics and Skincare Clinic Eudore. For help choosing the right aesthetic treatment for you, contact Mary Ferry, your aesthetic practitioner. Also offering fat-dissolving treatments, dermal fillers and laser treatments for all skin conditions. Hair and makeup packages also available. Genesis Aesthetics and Skincare Clinic Eudore, 07495 325 75.
The world awaits you. Make that dream your next adventure. Cruise the Caribbean. Sail from Crete to Corsica. Soak in Santorini sunsets. Dine on the shores of the Indian Ocean. Stroll through cobbled streets for hidden gems, or bring the little ones to a magical wonderland. Trust the award-winning Atlantic Travel to guide your next adventure. Step through our doorway to the world. Atlantic Travel, Letterkenny.
The 9 till noon show with Letterkenny Credit Union, now offering mortgages from 40,000 to 600,000 euro with no hidden fees or transaction charges. Letterkenny Credit Union, 9102127.
Now, as you would have heard on the news, a public inquiry into plans to upgrade part of the main road link between Dublin and Donegal is due to open this morning. The A5, which runs through counties Derry and Tyrone, is one of Northern Ireland's busiest and most dangerous roads. The Stormont Assembly first approved a project to upgrade the entire 93 kilometres road to a dual carriageway way back in 2007. The scheme is backed by all the main political parties in Northern Ireland. The first phase of construction was due to begin in 2018, but this project has been delayed by a series of legal actions by groups opposing its development, which means vesting orders for the compulsory purchase of some land along the route by Stormont Department of Infrastructure are no longer in force and will have to be renewed. We are joined by a couple of guests here to discuss this issue. Geraldine O'Neill is from Strabane. Good morning, Geraldine. Thanks for your time today.
Good morning, Greg. Thank you.
It's good to have you on the programme. And Aidan Harkin as well. Aidan, good morning to you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Morning, Greg. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, I'll start with you, Geraldine, because it's very important that we remember that the people who've lost their lives on this road, and also the devastation, not just amongst family, but the community, friends, sports, clubs. Geraldine, you know this very sadly firsthand, don't you?
Yes, I do. I lost a brother on the A5 on the 20th of March, 2008. And it was just an awful, awful time. And every time that you hear of someone else losing a loved one on that road, it just takes you back to that day. It was just awful. It's heartbreaking. And it just needs to stop. The road needs upgraded.
Yeah, and every time there's a collision, fatal collisions, we've had awful tragedy, and then maybe not as well reported. There are other crashes where people are seriously injured. It just, not that you need reminding of your awful loss, but it must bring those raw emotions flooding back to you, Geraldine.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. You never forget. You know, people say that time heals. You move on, you learn to live with it, but you're always constantly reminded of the loss that you've had, and the pain of that doesn't actually go away. And every time you hear of another accident on the A5, you just think of other families going through the heartache that we went through.
Yeah, and it's back in 2007. You're actually an affected landowner here as well. A notice of intention to Vestland was issued back then. That's an awful long time ago, and nothing has progressed since.
No, it's a double-edged sword for us because, yes, we are landowners on the route, and we had a vesting order. We actually had a vesting order in 2007, March 2007, and then we had another vesting order on the November 2010, and we were expected to lose land. And it was a double-edged sword because it was dissecting our farmland and on the edge of the town. But we were prepared to sacrifice that at that time. And that's a long time ago now. And the volume of traffic every year since that has you know, increased and increased constantly. And it's just, even our access onto the A5, with living on the actual A5, we have two young daughters who are also drivers. So we have four vehicles going out onto that A5 every day of the week, every morning, every evening. Mm. And there are so many people like us in the town who are driving that route every single day, but we struggle to access the A5 from our own dwelling even. And, you know, we can see how the road needs built. It would make such a difference to our area, you know, accessing our main road, the safety would just be, it just needs built.
Yeah, I've spoken to other families in the past who dread their loved ones travelling on that road or themselves, and professional drivers who can't wait to get off the A5. And, you know, they travel every road in the country. They know all about it. Do you get that too, that, you know, you just wait till everybody's home or have arrived at their destination safely? The road's so dangerous.
You worry, like, we have two girls who travel to Belfast for university, and you worry about them heading off on the route. My husband's a farmer, so he would also drive the route on a slow-moving vehicle. And the frustration, because on that route, there are nowhere to pass. From you leave New Buildings until you get to the far side of Oma, there's one overtaking lane. The road is just treacherous. It's just not fit for purpose.
Mm. Aidan, you're a spokesperson for the family who very sadly lost two siblings and an aunt in a crash on the A5 incredibly recently too. How is everybody coping?
Well, the role that I actually hold, Greg, is I'm the chairperson of the Strabane Neighbourhood Renewal Stroke Growth Partnership, and also have a vested interest in that I'm a trustee of Strabane Sigerson's GA Club. And we are aligned ourselves with the A5 Enough is Enough campaign, which has been initiated by Tro and GA. Yeah, I had the sad misfortune and I hear Geraldine talking about her brother losing his life in the road back in 2008. I was, as a community worker, I was working alongside the McCain family from the morning that the news broke that three siblings had lost their lives on the Auchnacloy stretch of the road. And I can tell you, you know, Christine, Dan and their Aunt Julia all lost their lives. But there's two other sisters, Ina and Colette, who are still in hospital in Belfast, recovering from their injuries. And then their brother William and his wife also received slight injuries in the accident, but the mental part of it must be absolutely awful, horrific. You know what I mean? Anybody that has come through a scene like the McCain family did, it has to live with you forevermore, amen. Geraldine spoke about her brother back in 2008. I'm sure it hasn't left them one single day. And the McCain family, as with many others, have that all ahead of them now for the rest of their lives, really.
I mean, you have to ask yourself, what will it take? What would it take to sort of people say, literally, enough is enough? This has to... We have to, of course, have to have a robust planning system, and there has to be checks and balances and the rights for people to appeal and what have you. Yes, okay, we accept that. But there also comes a point where public safety and the public interest has to be weighed more heavily, surely. We are way beyond that at this point, Aidan, you would feel.
Without a shadow of a doubt, you know, there's no other region of this country that would stick what the people of the North West have stuck, from Donegal right through to Monaghan. So that includes Derry, Tyrone, and even parts of Fermanagh leading into it. You know, if you go the other direction, heading towards Belfast, through the A4, through Derry, and see the road infrastructure there, go to the east of the province, Ballymena, Larne, Ballyclare, everywhere else, the roads are magnificent. When you go down south, the roads are unbelievable. You know, we have been deprived of a road network here in the northwest for generations. This doesn't happen in 2007. The go-ahead was given in 2007, the go-ahead with the A5. Now, what annoys me more than anything is the Alternative Alliance people, as they're called, doing the objecting. They have anonymity whilst objecting. This is crazy. If you were building a house and your neighbour was to object, at least you know your neighbour's objecting. The people that are trying to proceed the A5 don't even know who these objectors are. You know, it appears that badgers and bats and red squirrels are more important than life. And that's totally wrong, absolutely wrong.
Yeah. Geraldine, there are people paid massive amounts of money who are responsible for delivering these types of critical infrastructure. I mean, the time for talking is kind of done now. I'm not saying what we're doing, but we need action at this point. Someone needs to take this by the scruff of its neck and say enough is enough. I keep coming back to that phrase, but it's the one that resonates so much with this whole campaign and project.
Yes, absolutely. We've had engineers, architects, quantity surveyors. We've had people come to our house and sit and talk in 2007, 2008, 2015, 2016. We've had valuers, we've had valuations done on our land. The amount of money that has been to date spent is beyond shocking. It is absolutely, and that the project has gathered no momentum to the point where we're about to get a road. And at the minute, I really don't know even when it is likely to happen, but we absolutely need the road. And I have to say, I did go to the campaign that the GAA have launched in Darvahy, and we're very much behind it as well. We're very supportive of it. And I do think that the local community need to get up and go attend the public inquiry and voice their opinion, voice their dissatisfaction at progress to date.
Yeah, because Aidan, we've heard, as Geraldine referenced there, the most recent part of this campaign coming from the GEA, we had hundreds of members of the business community signing a petition, and we're hearing all the while from the public as well. I mean, all of those voices surely can't be ignored any longer.
Totally true, Greg. You know what I mean? I attended the meeting in Silver Virtual Tel Noma last Tuesday night, where politicians from across the board, as I said earlier, I'm the chair of the Strabane Neighbourhood Renewal Stroke Growth Partnership. At one of our recent meetings, when we were discussing the Enough is Enough campaign, actually a proposal came forward to send a letter to lend our backing to the campaign, and it came from an official unionist councillor and was seconded by a Sinn Féin councillor. So it shows you right across political parties that gained the support. At last week's meeting, we had the DUP and official unionists sending their apologies, but they were fully in support of the campaign, whilst Alliance, Sinn Féin and SDLP all sat in the panel. We also had representatives there from Monaghan County Council, and we had Senator Niall Blaney from Donegal there as well. And we are all assured that money is not an object, although this road has rocketed in price from something like $400-500 million to $1.6 billion. Money is not an object here. The money can be found. And I believe it should be found. Strabane lost the railway in 1965, as did many other parts of Tyrone and Donegal. We were promised back then, when I was only a child, that a new infrastructure would be built to connect the North West. That has not happened. The people of the North West have been deprived. And what that is also doing, it's meaning that it's hindering a lot of businesses. And even prior to 2007, when the go-ahead was given for the A5, we're only talking about 47 lives at the minute. What about all the lives that have been lost on that road from the loss of the railway in 65 right through to 2007? Mm. Maybe somebody wants to start counting them as well. You know, I'm all for protecting the environment and flood waters and plains and everything else and the habitats. But I think that human lives are far, far more important than all of that. And this tragedy that has befell the McCain family and fell to the likes of Geraldine family and many others right throughout Tyrone, Derry, Donegal, Fermanagh over the years. This can't go on. This can't go on. Even last week, on Thursday afternoon, there was a bad accident at the American Folk Park at Oma. And I know the fella from Strabane who was involved in the accident. And again, it could have claimed lives. It just has to stop. It wouldn't happen anywhere else.
Okay, Aidan. Listen, thank you so much for your contribution, and thanks for helping us raise this issue again. Geraldine, again, appealing to people to take ownership of this, get involved in something, let your views be known. We've had the business community speaking out. It's good to see some sort of political agreement in relation to this, and we just need the public as well to get behind any campaigns that are out there, or if they can make any submissions to the likes of that inquest or whatever, just go and let their voices be heard.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Every single parent, every single road user on that A5 Every one of them's life has been put at risk on a daily basis. And we were a family in 2008 who were affected, and it could be anyone. And I wouldn't want another family going through what we have come through by the loss of our youngest brother. It needs to all through now.
It's devastating. Okay, listen, thanks so much for speaking to us. I appreciate it, Geraldine. And best wishes to you and all the family as well. Okay, Geraldine O'Neill from Strabane, who lost her brother, just 20 years of age, Shane Caldwell. He was killed in a crash on the A5 in 2008. And we thanks Aidan also for coming on. 086 60 25,000. If you're outside Donegal, 00353 86 60 25,000. Okay, now the government's recently convened a meeting of the Retail Forum to discuss concerns over high food prices. The Donegal Food Response members have seen the effects of growing food prices on food poverty in Donegal, and we are seeing more working families now who are finding it difficult to get by. The rising cost of food added to it. The rising cost of energy is seeing families unable to purchase the amount of food they previously would have purchased and turning to food banks for support. We're joined by a number of guests to help us through this. We'll say good morning first, if that's okay, to Margaret Larkin, who is of DLDC, which facilitates the food, the Donegal Food Response Network. Good morning, Margaret.
Morning, Greg.
Thank you so much for joining us. So every time food goes up, there are large swathes of our society that feel it and feel it really, really quite severely, especially when you look at all the other costs associated with simply just living.
Exactly, Greg. The members of the Food Response Network are finding now is that as we emerge from COVID and where people struggled over that period of time, we've gone straight in to the increased cost of living, energy costs, that has a serious detrimental effect on people through the communities. That obviously impacts on the charities that are trying to support the people on the ground, because what the organisations are finding now, the people that ordinarily would have donated to food banks and supported them are actually now in need of the service themselves. The Food Response Network are very strong together. They work very well together. They have representatives all across the county. And as we meet, we're seeing that this is a common story all across the county. There's no area that is not affected or impacted by that. It's literally across the entire county, and all organisations are just really starting to feel that struggle. And as volunteers, I suppose part of today as well is to reach out and request for support and lobby for help from other agencies and organisations. The organisations here are using that bottom-up community development approach to bring the challenges and issues, but we're looking now for a top-down response to help these organisations and the volunteers on the ground.
Yeah, I mean, that's, when you hear it said that people in the past, not too distant past, who were contributors now find themselves having to avail of the services, that's how quickly life can change when prices change.
Absolutely. Like one small circumstance, one small life event can result in a family or individuals needing support from food banks. It's not exclusive to any demographic. It's across the board. What we're finding now is that people are actually afraid to turn on their ovens because, they just can't afford the costs. They're afraid to use the ovens. They're afraid to buy food. Parents are sacrificing in order that the children can continue, playing in sports or taking part in activities and just basically having a life that they should be having. So it is very serious at the minute, Greg, from what we're seeing across the county.
And that leaves nothing there for dealing with life events that happen, because you're living just on the line there. So if there's a major bill comes in, or an ESB bill or electricity bill takes you by surprise or something, there's just no capacity there to meet that.
Absolutely. What we're seeing a lot now is as well, it's not week-on-week supplies that people are looking for. It is that piece. It's a Wednesday. There's nothing in the house for lunch for Thursday or Friday. It's that help to just get over those few days to the next paycheck. It's that trying to make what they have stretch. And more people are finding themselves midweek not getting to that next paycheck. And that's where the food banks are coming in now. An awful lot. So there's new families, new people availing of the services for that piece alone. And as you say, one additional bill or one unexpected cost just results in them not being able to get to the end of the week, you know.
Yeah, and not everyone's going to come forward for help either.
Absolutely not. And that's the beauty of the two ladies are here with us today. And that is the beauty, I suppose, or the benefit, I should say, of the community and voluntary sector. These people live in the areas. They know the people in the local area. You know, it's a very discreet, confidential service. But exactly as you say, Greg, a lot of the people that are in dire straits are not coming forward because, unfortunately, there is that shame, there is that embarrassment, which there should not be, but it does still exist. But a lot of the people that are volunteering in the local areas are very discreetly identifying those people mm-hmm. and just quietly and gently offering the support and directing them towards the food banks.
Yeah, one of those is Sally Boyce from Clonhilly Food Bank. Sally, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us.
Morning.
And you're seeing also what we've heard as it relates to, you know, working families feeling that they need support now.
Absolutely. It's as Margaret said, it's across the board, but we do often see that it's more working families that are getting hit the hardest. I mean, if they're, you know, you've got parents that are lucky enough that maybe it's one parent working or maybe the two parents are working, but they're just not meeting, their wages are not coming up anywhere near the cost of living. And we are seeing it on a regular basis now where they're just getting hit the hardest. I mean, we deal with so many different people from every walk of life, but we do find now that we have a case where you will have a parent contact you and it could be a Tuesday evening, a Wednesday evening, and like Margaret said, there is just not enough there to get them to that line at the weekend. And we find that we are working more and more and more now with parents. And again, as Margaret said, we've actually put out a call out for anybody that had a slow cooker or an air fryer or, you know, so that we could pass these on. Because it does take down the cost of the bills as well. But parents are just, you know, you can see the worry in their face, in their eyes when they come in. And, you know, it really, really shouldn't be there. It's just that we really, really, really need to get ahead of it. And it's very difficult to do so.
Yeah, Sally, you quite rightly pointed out to the emotional impact this has on people and perhaps maybe... you know, we all need a little bit of hope, don't we, or something to look forward to or try and get to. And I would say for a lot of people it feels hopeless because, you know, their income, they probably can't move upwards in that regard and prices and costs are only going up, it seems.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, same shop that some of our people would have done last year, the year before, they're not getting nearly enough for the cost of what's involved now at this stage. We have seen on a very, very often that parents are making the sacrifices. Now, we also carry in our food bank, we carry hygiene products. You know, we're carrying everything at the moment. But you can see that parents are making those choices to put the food on the table for the kids. You know, they may have elderly parents living with them. They may be carers themselves. Mm. It's just absolutely unacceptable that we're in this position at this stage.
And of course,
we really just want to help as much as we possibly can.
And the problem you have in that is that you're facing the same price rises in terms of, you know, getting food in that you can pass on. It's costing you more. Of course, there are donations as well, but stuff that you have to source, that's at an extra cost because you're having to buy it yourselves.
Absolutely. You know, we know, we're very lucky in our food bank. We have a fantastic fundraiser on board with us. She works tirelessly to make sure that we do have funds for getting our stocks in. The donations are down. You know, a lot of businesses are feeling the effect as well. They are either not ordering in as much, or if they have food that is ready at its nearly at its date, they're putting that on offer and people are, you know, buying it. Absolutely. But it leaves very little for us to pick up in donations. And, you know, whereas we would go out maybe last year, the year before, and spend 500, 600, 700 euro to stock up our food bank, we know we're not getting the same amount of stock now because of the rising costs.
Yeah.
You know, you have the food banks have all their own bills as well. We're very lucky. We don't actually have to pay rent for our room or our electricity. If we did, we probably wouldn't be there, you know, because we simply couldn't afford it.
So, and I think what you indicated in a previous comment, but you were careful with your language, if I picked it up correctly, is that you are seeing situations where things are so tight that mothers, for an example, are forgoing period products in favour of food.
Absolutely.
I mean, that is period poverty. That's the definition of it. And I appreciate your phrasing of it, but this is where we're at now for some people. Stay with me. Mary Coyle is with Enid and Eve Podrick. It's a community support enterprise and education service that supports children and families in the Bunbeg area. They provide food parcels to families who are struggling and also provide the lunches and breakfast club for the DESH schools in the area and a Wheels on Meals service. And the support use offer, Mary, obviously it's in assisting people, but it's in terms of giving them advice, what money they have, how they can maybe stretch it just as far as is possible. And of course, helping people to deal with the inevitable stresses and anxiety that comes with having to live like this.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot more of this, Greg. Unfortunately, we live in a disadvantaged area here in Gweedore, and people are finding it very tough. We can see the impact it has on families. We can see the anxiety in children. We actually had a course last week to help parents deal with children that are suffering from anxiety. And it seems to be more and more across the board. It seems to be the working people that we're helping. Around Christmas there now, we gave out about 90 food packages. We gave out toys, we gave out clothes. And discreetly now, we've been giving out packages this past number of weeks as well. So I suppose what we're trying to do really is get to the root of the problems. It's not just enough, I think, to be handing out food. It's really to try and get to the root of people's problems and see if we can help them get out of the situation that they're in. Might it be counselling, might it be advice how to handle money better, or might it be just problems that are in the home. We see a lot as well, and we run Donegal Cancer Flights and Services out of here as well, and it is actually people that are ill, that have had to stop working, that are travelling for treatment, that they are all suffering. And that is what we're trying to do. We're trying to help people with that.
Okay.
Sorry,
and it's a busy environment. But listen, come here, it's okay. It's only us having a chat here. And Mary, you know, the what you do, all of you, what you do is amazing. But it can't continue like this, can it? Whereby people are living long term in this situation, relying on organisations and groups. There has to be something put in place, so we have to find a way that your jobs, if I can put it like that, is to help people maybe short term who've come across something terrible in their life, like an illness or something, not for large groups of individuals that having to live their lives this way.
Yeah, I think we need to look at this as a countywide problem. We need help from the top down. We are working tirelessly from the bottom up. It's a collaborative approach that is needed here to find solutions that can help these families. We can't keep going the way we're going. As Margaret and Sally said there, we used to be able to go to the businesses here and say, we need help. They need to help themselves now. So the pot is a lot smaller. The amount of people that need help is a lot bigger. And I find that we're under immense pressure. Like today, we are going out today to deliver an extra fridge that we have here in the centre to an old person who has no fridge and cannot manage without it and cannot buy a fridge. So we have an extra fridge here, so we're going out there today to deliver it. We have people in asking to help with their electricity bills. It's unbelievable, Greg. I don't think that the people up there on the top that are making the decisions realise how tough it is for people here on the ground. I wish they would come and sit in our jobs for a while.
and then they would really get a feel of what's going on out there in the community.
I actually think they should be made to. People who make decisions should be obliged to do 2 weeks working in an environment where you actually realise what's going on. Because, Margaret, I think you are doing something really important today in speaking out as a collective from all different parts of the county here, because I think it's a lot of people's eyes. My eyes are being opened today as to the extent of the problems that we have, Margaret. And I've got this, you know, 32, 33, 34 billion euro surplus, and we're putting it away to you know, in case there's problems down the line. And I don't want to get political, because I don't think any of you want to get dragged into that, because you have to work with these people as well down the line, right? But, you know, does anyone listening to this programme want to live in a society where we have over 30 billion of an excess, but people like yourselves are having to keep people alive by putting food on their tables, Margaret? No one wants that, I don't think.
Absolutely not, Greg. And I mean, the whole purpose, last Wednesday we had a food equality forum, and that was in partnership with Sláintecare, where we literally went to get everybody around the table, HSE, local authority, community guards, anybody that would listen, to try and present the problem as it is on the ground. The Food Response Network themselves, there's 18 organisations on this network, Greg, and they work tirelessly. Over the past 2 years, we have branded the network, we have developed a website, and it's all, I suppose, coming to that, together we're stronger. It's one strong voice from across the county coming together to lobby, as Mary said, looking for top-down support, you know, to help these people on the ground. What I see is, from working on the network, the development companies, or Donegal Local Development Company, would see we are sort of a conduit between the community and the agency. And what we're seeing is there's a huge disconnect, albeit there's a will to learn and to understand, but it's very hard to demonstrate. You know, we're living in a space where, you know, We Care Food Bank shared with us the last day that they now have to take coffee. Coffee is considered a luxury item, you know, when they're helping families. And then the other, you know, side of it, you have people that are buying takeaway coffees every morning on their way to work. It's very clear disparity, that there's polar opposites, you know, and it's trying to bring that together. As Mary said, you would absolutely love the people that make the decisions to spend a day, you know, in their shoes. And just a point to note as well, Greg, that's very important, is most of the people that are involved in this network are volunteers. If they're not volunteers, believe me, it's not the money that will keep them in the jobs that they're doing.
Well, can you imagine if they weren't doing what they were doing, what life would be like for so many people, as difficult as it is now, if it wasn't for the likes of Sally and Mary and everybody else? It would be, but I think even this is starting to sort of, how do I phrase this? Like, I think, Mary, just even speaking to you, it's got so bad now, it's starting to wear on you, if that makes sense. Is that how it feels? Yeah. That it's like you're looking at this and going, right, okay, this is not really what we're supposed to be doing. How long can this go on for? As I say, I don't want to give you the wrong emotions, but I get that feeling from you and from Sally as well.
It is. It's very difficult, you know. The jobs that we do are hard enough, but this is very heavy on the heart, because you're actually dealing with people that, as we said earlier on, it's very difficult for them to come through the door in the first place, you know, and they're finding it very tough. Mm. And with the funding that we receive ourselves, which is actually very little funding, you know, a lot of funding that we would receive is just for activities. We don't actually receive any funding for this at all. So we're very lucky to be in the position that whatever money that we make in the centre, that it goes back into the community. But if we didn't have that, you know, we find that there's so much now, there's so much between the food poverty, between the cancer flights, between all those things, that we're stretched. We are stretched. We just need more funding. So we actually need more more help on the ground.
Okay.
We need more.
Well, maybe the last bit. How can people get involved with an Enid Padraig, for example, or contribute? I know there's people listening here that this has opened their eyes, as I said a little earlier on, and they'll want to try and help. So from you, in your area, how can people who want to help help?
We invite volunteers in all the time. We ask people to come in and help us. We have a community garden. If they work in the community garden, they get to take some of the produce home. We're feeders here, so people come in to help us and help us run the centre, because we depend on volunteers to help us run places like this, because we actually don't have enough staff. So anybody that comes in, it's a bartering system. They bring help. They'll help us do the jobs around the place, and we give them food in exchange. That's how we're operating at the moment. That's how we manage. That's how we manage mm-hmm. to keep going. And I'm sure Sally there is just the same.
Well, I'm going to ask Sally the same question. Sally, how can people help the Clochaneely Food Bank?
Well, I mean, you know, all help is absolutely greatly received. And as Margaret said, I would love to see the powers that be come down and spend a couple of days with us, because they would come back with a different mindset. We have donation boxes out in shops. We are regularly at our food bank. People come there with a donation. We're there to accept it. You know, we have the set up through the network. We have the I donate buttons on the page on the website for the Donegal Food Response. You know, we ask people not to actually give us cash. We have accounts in some of the local shops, and that's us trying to help local businesses as well at the same time. It's very difficult for anybody coming through our doors. You know, it takes an awful lot out of somebody to come through our doors. And I'm sure they don't want to be doing it. Mm. You know, in an ideal world, myself and Mary and Margaret would all be out of a job. But I mean, we're absolutely not going anywhere at the moment, but we do need the support.
Right. And there's food banks pretty much in all areas that people are listening. Margaret, anything we can do, if there's a campaign or anything, whatever it is, please just contact Caroline or myself. And we need to keep this on the agenda, I think, so that it can't be ignored by people that shouldn't be ignoring it. I think that's just essential. We can't, I mean, yous aren't, you know what I mean? But we all have to come together, I think, to as much as possible eliminate this.
Yeah, absolutely, Greg. And to be fair, Highland Bridge have been very good. We have had campaigns the last 2 or 3 years in September, going back to school and the run up to Christmas. But I would just encourage, I suppose, people to visit that www.donegalfoodresponse.ie. All 18 members are on there, and there's iDonate or various variations of that, where all of, you know, people can donate to their local area. But absolutely, Greg, it's so important to keep this conversation going. And following up from the Equality Forum last week, that it's not just a talking shop, that this time we really need action. It has to be a countywide collaborative approach, and we really need action.
Do we have any idea how many families and individuals are helped by the network of food banks?
It varies, but I think we meet monthly and the figures are updated monthly, but across the county it's in the hundreds, in the high hundreds, Greg, at the minute. Most of the, on average, each one of the food banks are supporting 50, 60 families per week. So, you know, it's, and it varies, it peaks and it troughs, but it's generally speaking, it's in and around that.
Yeah, it's shocking figures. Margaret Larkin from DLDC, thank you so much for helping us to get this out. I really appreciate it. Also want to say a big thank you to Sally as well. Sally, it's amazing what you do, and thank you so much for giving us an insight. It's been lovely having you on the programme. And last but not least, of course, Mary Coyle from Enid Padraig. Thank you very much indeed. I really do appreciate your time. And as I say, anything we can do in the future to help, please get in touch.